The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O
Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets, who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50, and you have seen Abraham." Jesus said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the first day of Lent, a minister acting in the Lord Jesus' name sealed us with a sign of our baptism, making over the same place where a cross was made on our forehead at our baptism with ashes, and using Jesus' first word said, "Repent and be faithful to the gospel." The whole season of Lent is meant to help us to be faithful to the gospel, which is the new and eternal covenant Christ has made for us with his blood. It's the greatest gift we've ever received. It's not something he ever forced on us, but it is something to which we need to respond with fidelity. When we understand that context, we're going to be able to see the moral applications of this conversation between Jesus and many of the Jews in the temple area in today's gospel, all about the covenant of Abraham and how we're supposed to be faithful like Abraham was to God. You remember yesterday, we brought up a little bit of this conversation between Jesus and the Jews, precisely about Abraham. Jesus said, "Anyone who sins is a slave to sin." And they responded, "We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone." Jesus would later say, "I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me, because my word is no room among you. If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this." To be a true son or a true daughter of Abraham is to do the works of Abraham. And the essential work of Abraham was a work of faith. It was a work that allowed God to change us. Was a word of docility. It was a work of docility so that God would be able to tell us things that seemed impossible, but that Abraham still believed in. Like what? Somebody 75 is told, "Even though your family has lived here for generations, even though you're a little old, even though you're not up for a journey of 1,000 miles, get up, pack up all your stuff, and go. Go to a land I will show you. Not even a land I'll indicate to you now. Trust in me enough to know that I'm going to lead you to a place where I want you." And Abraham didn't hesitate. He didn't hem and haw. He said, "Lord, if you're asking this, let's go." Abraham did the work of faith when God told him, when his and his wife's reproductive systems were all but dead, "You're not only going to become a dad through Sarah, but you're going to become the father of a multitude of nations." It would have been very easy for Abraham to have laughed that off as an absurdity. But again, he totally believed. He believed even when he needed to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise. He believed even 13 years later when God was asking him to sacrifice the son of the promise, Isaac, knowing that even if he should slay his son, because the son was the son of the promise, the father would raise him from the dead. He continued to believe. Those are the works. And those put into relief just how ugly was the lack of faith of the Jews in today's gospel. They were absolutely not going to be able to accept that God would be requiring them to change one tiny little iota in their faith. If they didn't like what Jesus said, even though he was doing miracles that no one had ever done, not all the prophets had done, they still weren't going to accept it. They couldn't deny the miracles. But then they'd say, you're working these miracles by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. That's why right at the beginning of today's reading, when Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, he swears an oath, he enters into a verbal covenant. Whoever keeps my word will never see death. Their response, now we're sure you're possessed. Before we were only 99% sure you were possessed, but now we're certain. Go on. Abraham, he died. The prophets died. Are you saying you're more important than they? Are you saying that your word is more salvific than their word? And Jesus was saying, yeah, I am. But they weren't prepared at all to accept it despite all the promises, because that would mean that they wouldn't be in charge. Who do you make yourself out to be? Well, Jesus was precisely making himself out to be the Son of the Eternal Father, and in fact, God in the flesh. And they weren't going to budge. Jesus, after saying that the Father would glorify him, that he knows the Father, and that he keeps the Father's word, then said, Abraham, your father, rejoice to see my day. He saw it and be glad. He wasn't going to lie to them in this conversation. He wasn't going to hide anything. He knew his end was imminent. He was going to say the truth unvarnished. And then they get into this petty dispute. Abraham died 1800 years ago, and you can't be any older than at the most 50. How could Abraham have seen you? How could he have rejoiced in your day? And Jesus swore another oath. Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, not I was, I am, Yahweh. The very words that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, I am who am. He was making himself out to be eternal, his words to be eternal, his very being to be co-eternal with the Father. That's why they tried to stone him. They would get their chance to stone him with the words, crucify him, and with huge nails in just about a week. What do we see here? Jesus was describing Abraham's great joy in foreseeing Jesus. How did Abraham foresee Jesus? Did Jesus appear to him in Ur of the Chaldees, or in the land flowing with milk and honey, or in Mount Moriah? Not explicitly, but Abraham was able to see the fulfillment of the promise in Christ. When God told Abraham, you would become the father of many nations, if Abraham was just going to be the father of the Jews, he would be the father of only one nation. The way he would become the father of a multitude of nations is when God's covenant would be spread to that multitude of nations. And that was going to happen precisely in Christ. So Abraham already saw that. He already saw Christ in the promise which he believed in 100%. Abraham already saw Jesus when he was sacrificing his son Isaac. Isaac carried the wood of the sacrifice, went up to Mount Moriah, which is essentially Mount Jerusalem. And it was there that he knew that God would provide the Lamb. And God the Father, in fact, did provide the Lamb of God. Abraham, knowing that if his son died, his son would be raised from the dead by God the Father, already saw Jesus' resurrection. He already saw the fulfillment of all of those promises at that very moment when he was doing all of this. What does it mean for us? Lent is a time for us to learn from God, to receive His graces, to become just as faithful as Abraham, to believe in all of God's promises, that when we pray, fast, and sacrifice ourselves for others, that God the Father sees and rejoices, that the little things we do to anyone, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the imprisoned, the ill, we do just to Jesus Christ Himself, that if we give somebody even a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, that we will never lose an eternal reward. We could go on and on, living the Beatitudes, living according to the commandments, living according to the covenant, that this is the wisest way a human being could possibly live. All of that is true. Repent and be faithful to the gospel. Today we come and we reflect on the fact that the covenant God made with Abraham is just a small little foretaste of the new and eternal covenant God has made with us in someone who is far greater than Abraham, who is before Abraham even came to be. And the way we grow in that fidelity to the Lord who never forgets His covenant of mercy is here at Mass, where we literally enter into that new and eternal covenant made by that Son's own shed blood, as the Father fulfilled His end of that covenant, raising that Son from the dead. The Father wants to fulfill that same covenant in us, raising you and me from the dead. He begins that resurrection as we receive Jesus' risen body and blood, but He wants it to be fulfilled forever in that kingdom where Abraham still rejoices to see this day of the Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.